This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Frisco?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Welcome back to hour number two. I'm Mike Rickard, the head of the Hack Nation. We got two pros still with us. Bill Buttner sitting across from me, of course, 15 years on the PGA Tour, 21 years at Eckerd College, the men's and the women's program, and of course, is it 20 at St. Pete Country Club?
Actually, I started in 20, so 2000, so 23 going on
24 years.
Yeah.
Jeff Ward's in the house, of course, our resident health and fitness guru, and launching a new podcast, Get Your Fit On. And John Rager, of course, always the other professional, teaching professional of America, businessman in the world of golf, you name it, he's done it. Marketing, the voice of the Outback tournament back in the day. Speaking of that, we are invited to, we'll get our media credentials in the event you want to go down to the Chubb Classic. We'll talk about that. Take you along with us, sir, if you're mobile. That'll be the 12th through the 16th. And I talked to Jeremy Friedman today. He'll be on next week to join us to talk about it. He actually was, their preparation right now, more than a month out, he had five meetings getting ready for the Chubb Classic. So obviously, behind the scenes, people do not realize the work that takes place to put on a golf tournament. You do, and you probably have done a lot of preparation. Are you on leave at the golf?
No.
So you've been working through this.
Oh yeah.
For the 98th.
What am I going to do? Sit around at home, watch more golf?
Well, I'm proud of you.
No. We've been doing the pairings. We've had a couple of withdrawals this morning. We had some replacements. We got scorecards. We got pin sheets. We got it all. It's organizing the staff, organizing the rules officials. We got everything going right now. We have a little situation where we've altered the play as we're playing 27 holes in preparation for bad weather on Saturday. So hopefully it works out where we can get a good 27 holes in tomorrow. That way we only need to get 9 holes in on Saturday.
So if we want to go see, golfers of the future, it will be the place to go is St. Pete Country Club tomorrow. Yep.
They'll be going at 9, and they'll be going till probably 5 o'clock, so all day long.
And of course, John Rager, you've put many. How many tournaments do you think you've been a director at? In the hundreds?
No, I looked at this the other day. I was just trying to figure out, how many tournaments I've been involved with as a tournament director, and and I guess this gives away my age, but it's over 1,000 now. So
1,000.
Well, it's been over 40 years, and I've been a tournament director of over 1,000 golf tournaments. And I can tell you what Bill is doing with the New Year's Invitational. What I can tell you is that even though it sounds simple, doing the pairings and getting the rules and doing this, that, and the other, you can't make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you're in big doo doo. So hats off to Bill and all the efforts that he's doing with the New Year's Invitational.
We made two mistakes this morning. We did not put on, according to Johnny Williams, our rules official, we did not put on pace of play on the scorecards. So we had to put that on and reprint those. And then we had the depths of the greens wrong in the pin location sheet. So we had to redo those. So other than that, it's just another operation.
Who's Johnny?
Johnny's a head official for the North Florida PGA.
Gotcha.
And so he and his band of oversee all the legality of this thing is out of bounds and And
do they go out to all the marquee tournaments and
they go in every tournament?
Well, John used to be the president of North Florida, right, John?
Yeah, you know, I got a quick story about pin sheets and things like that. So years ago, there's a retired now PGA Champions Tour rules official named Gene Smith, and he was probably one of the foremost experts on the in the rules of golf. He memorized the rule book. He's a black and white kind of guy, and I remember Gil Gonzalez and I, the longtime pro at Palmasia, we were the announcers and starters for the Outback Tournament. It's had many names throughout the years, Verizon, GTE, whoever sponsored it. But one year when it was the Outback and they had the tour pros play with celebrities, the caddies would always scarf up the pin sheets, the pin locator sheets, and they would take more than they needed. You know, you might have 100 people in the field that print out 300 pin sheets, and they're all gone. So Gil Gonzalez and I, we always had a secret supply of pin sheets. So they gave us their pin sheets that morning, so we didn't run out. And so what happened was, unbeknownst to us, is that they changed the flag pin location on the 10th hole. We didn't know that. And so somebody snuck into the starter's tent while we were announcing and switched out all the pin sheets, but they didn't realize that we had our secret stash of pin sheets underneath the little, thing that set, that kept the pencils and all the other supplies in. So sure enough, Ray Floyd, he's leading the tournament. We give him his pin sheet. He gets to the 10th hole. And all of a sudden, the pin is not where it's supposed to be on the pin sheet. And he calls Gene Smith over, and Gene is just flabbergasted because Gene realized what we did. Gene knows the trick of the trade. And so the pin sheet was wrong. And so there's thousands of people around the 10th hole, and Ray Floyd was going to make an example out of Gene Smith. So Ray said, "Gene Smith, come over here," right in front of everybody. Gene walks over. He already knew what the problem was. He looked at Ray, and he goes, "I bleeped up, Ray. I bleeped up." And he walked away, and Ray just kind of laughed and went on his business and realized, okay, but Gene will never let us down. And Gene posts these great posts on Facebook of stories of rules and things that he's done, interacted with the Champions Tour the last 25 years, and he just won't let it down because he keeps posting this story to embarrass us out there. So when I say that, Bill Buckner and the New Year's Invitational, getting the pin sheets right, getting all the rules right, hey, you make one little mistake and the whole world knows it.
I hear you on that. And
we all know about Ray Floyd, where he went to school, right?
Where'd he go?
He
didn't go for 4 years.
4 years? How about 6 weeks? He made it to campus but could not find where the classrooms were. So he set, hustling things at Finley Golf Course back in the day.
Well, bravo. He was an entrepreneur.
He was an entrepreneur before his time.
Yes. You're listening down the Tee, Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. Of course, our good partners in Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, and Michelob Ultra. We're at Ferg's in the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio on our lower 18, if you will, one of our simulators. We've got two simulators down here right now. Colin, make a tee time. And to launch the 2024 year, we are also sticking by our BOGO. Buy 1 hour for $40. Get the second one for free. And before I introduce this beautiful lady, I'm going to tell a story about her. This is Two Pros and a Hack, and I'm the hack. Well, Brandi Winans, she's an accomplished author, motivational speaker. She's now the president of the Sports Club of Tampa. Tom Gribben felt bad that he had to leave, but she's a cheater on the golf course.
No way.
Yes.
How do you know that?
Well, because she told me this story.
Oh. Okay.
And she was with her husband, God rest his soul, Jeff Winans, who played for several teams in the NFL and just a standout, went to the University of Southern California, was here with the Bucks for some time. And he takes his lovely bride along with him, some function. And so they're out in the fairway, and she grabs the old tee and tees up the ball and hits a driver off the tee in the middle of the fairway.
I love her.
I
love that.
And now let's bring
my vote.
Now let's bring her into the conversation. How are you, beautiful?
It was
never realized you had this many fans.
Yeah, it was all, and it was probably one of the most embarrassing moments for my husband. We were at a celebrity event in Reno, Nevada when that happened.
Is that when he was with the Raiders then?
He had finished football. No longer he had, the last team was the Raiders, Buffalo, Tampa, and the Raiders. And we had been invited to a celebrity event in Reno, Nevada, with a whole bunch of other celebrities. And so we were at the practice round, and the event coordinators were behind us, and I was learning, you know, I was practicing a lot of golf. Let's just say I'm blonde, left-handed. And so I took the tee and put it in the fairway because I'd had a great tee off, but then the fairway was really hard for me. And so I just teed up, and the event coordinators were behind us with his wife, and they had a heart attack after I teed off. They came up, and they went over to Jeff, and they pulled him to the side, and they were like, you know, your wife can't do that tomorrow. I was so embarrassed. Anyway, I'm a little better than that now, but
you just need a better technique is to figure out how nobody can see it. That's your only problem. You got to figure out how to use green tees, hey, use shorter green tees.
No, well, listen. At the same tournament that day, we were at some freaking mountain in Reno, right? And we were up to tee off. And, of course, the next day, every stroke is completely counted. And so it was windy up there, and I set my ball on the tee, and it rolled off. And the guy behind me who's keeping score goes, that's one stroke. So I hit the ball, and it went across the mountain onto this little island, little tee, and I almost made a hole in one, which would have been two, but I did par the damn hole, so it was great.
What putt golf course were you playing on? You hit the mountain, and then a little creek. It sounds like one of my favorite tracks, right up the road there on Gulfport Boulevard. Hey, John Rager, say hello to your friend Brandy Winans.
Brandy,
Johnny, I love you. How are you, honey?
On the Sea Florida Radio. You know what I want you to do before we get into it? You're one of the most impactful women in Tampa Bay sports, and for a variety of reasons. But I want you to tell our listeners, because we are the fastest growing radio show in Florida, that they may not understand, they may not know your story and what's behind it. You know, and I know that you've got a lot of accolades, and especially with this Tampa Sports Club and the fantastic work you're doing. I know we have a tournament coming up, but can you please share with us, because we have a common bond. You know, my dad played in the NFL for 12 years. He passed away of dementia. The 88 plan took care of him, which was remarkable because he helped found the Players Association way back when it wasn't popular to do that. But can you tell your story about your late husband, Jeff, and all the things that led you to this moment?
You know, it's been a long and beautiful and wonderful journey, but I was married to a wonderful man for over 30 years. Jeff Winans played for Buffalo, Tampa, and the Raiders. We ended up with disabilities from football at 30 years old. Then he ended up with an accidental gunshot accident, which took us to another 100 surgeries. And when we moved back here in 88, and he said, you know what, I really want to start a foundation that I can help other kids, terminally ill, abused kids, neglected kids. And we moved back here, and that's when we met your dad, John, who had founded the Suncoast chapter of the NFL alumni. And, With Jeff's disabilities turned into neurocognitive problems, so he ended up throughout the years passing away with stage 3 CTE, which is known as chronic traumatic encephalopathy. If you hear about the concussion problems that former players and other players in the industry, the athletic industry, have had, that's where my husband ended up, and I had become a very strong NFL advocate fighting for disability pensions, fighting for the concussion settlement for other players, and I became a transition coach, helping players and families, because the support group doesn't just go to the player, it really goes into the family support to help the player and to help the families understand what a player is going through. And you understood it with your dad, who was an amazing man who had dementia, which I feel was also part of the NFL, but you know, some of those things are genetic. But I've been a very strong advocate for former players, and I've been very blessed along the way with a beautiful son and daughter-in-law and a granddaughter.
Well, that's fantastic. I just wanted to make sure our listeners could understand, you know, the background where you're coming from. But at this particular point now on our show, tell us about, I understand you're the new president of the Tampa Sports Club.
I have to tell you, the sports club is, we're now officially in 2024 in our 63rd year. It was originally founded as a Kiwanis Club back in the early 60s, and then Leonard and George Levy, who were twin brothers who really were responsible for bringing the Tampa Bay Lightning, along with Bill Esposito and Henry Paul, and our Tampa Bay Buccaneers to professional sports in the Tampa Bay area. And Leonard Levy was our very first president in 1961. I'm very honored because I'm only the second female president in 63 years to be president of the Sports Club of Tampa Bay. We decided last year to honor Leonard and George. Leonard passed away in 2022, and we went to the Levy and the Barrett family. Jana Barrett was his daughter, and asked if we could do a memorial tournament for her dad and the uncle. And so we were very blessed last year. We went back to the Levy family this year and said, hey, can we continue the Levy legacy by saying, hey, let's do the Leonard and George Levy charity golf tournament. And hopefully our sports club had never done a tournament until last year because they really didn't know how to put them on. And because of my husband and I doing many tournaments over the years, we were able to understand, along with my partner in crime, Mr. Lou Maggio, who had originally gone to the sports club and said, hey, we would like to put on a tournament in honor of the Levy family. So we're in our second one this year, February 19th. We've had an amazing turnout so far. We still have some spots available. I did a budget last year for 80 players, as y'all know, especially John, putting tournaments on. It went from 80 to 100 to 120 to 150 players at Carrollwood Country Club last year, and we used all three courses. So we are hoping for the same kind of turnout this year. The biggest major plus for us this year, and we're looking for a title sponsor of $10,000, is Gary Koch, who was 6 times PGA time winner and the winner of the 2023 Payne Stewart Award this year. And also Gary had been analyst with NBC for years on the golf scene. So we're very honored. He is my honorary chairman this year, and we're pulling in some other celebrity events, celebrity players from the NFL and other players coming in. So it's February 19th. Our players are only $175, and $700 for a foursome, and then we're still looking for a title sponsor, a $10,000, $5,000. Those two players, Gary has been very gracious to play with our title sponsor this year, and part of the title sponsorship enables three foursomes. So I'm throwing in celebrity captains for that, and our $5,000 title sponsor, celebrity captains for those. It's an amazing event. Gary's going to be there the whole day. He's an amazing guy. He's been our one of our guest speakers with the sports club before, and we're very excited. And then I have to tell you real quickly, if you want to get involved, you can go to sportsclubatampabay.org, and you will see all the information there. Now, we have just gotten to our 40th anniversary of our sports club, of our Hall of Fame induction dinner, June 5th, at Pepin's Hospitality Center. We may be moving to Higgins because when you hear the lineup, you're going to get blown away. Our inductees this year: Steve Spurrier, Bruce Arians, Titus O'Neill, Aaron Andrews, former ESPN and now Fox Sports. Gail Gallardo will be introducing her. Last year we had our Lifetime Achievement Award winner was Jeff and Penny Bennick, which was the Lightning. And this year our Lifetime Achievement Award winner will be Betty Caster. J.P. Peterson has been graciously the person of the person to do our MC every year. So we have a lot going on this year. And if you want to become a member of our sports club, just go to sportsclubatampabay.org. It's $100 a year membership, and you can pick and choose what guest speakers you want to go see or what other events you want to participate in.
That's it, $100, and you can become a member of this organization?
Yep, and then the following year, it's $125 renewal. We've been doing a whole bunch of new things since I became vice president and president. And so we're going to be doing a Bucks tour in March. We're going to be doing, I have Martine Gramatica as one of my other future guest speakers. We've gotten very involved with USF and their new stadium. So, I mean, we've got so much wonderful things going on for our sports club in Tampa Bay. We're getting ready to do our annual hockey game is January 9th, which is next Tuesday. And listen, the Lightning go all out for us on those events where we have kind of our own private suite area. We get food, we get drinks for like $150 for the evening, and sometimes we have Brian Bradley, another former hockey player and member of the Lightning family. He comes out and does a guest speaking thing for us there. But we're at Palmasia Golf and Country Club once a month, and look us up. We'd love to have more members. My goal during presidency this year is to have 200 members. We have gone from 81 to.
That should not be a problem for our listeners out there. You just got to write the check today, right now, because I can tell you that, Tampa Bay, obviously in the modern era, it's a big area. Like with our radio show, we reach 1.8 million households, okay? The area is growing tremendously. But if you look at George Levy, who the tournament is named after, George Levy started out selling trophies, Little League baseball players, in Tampa. I had the good fortune of growing up in Tampa in the late 60s and early 70s and can tell you that, Tampa has obviously exploded in growth and things like that. But George Levy actually went on to be such an integral player in the community selling trophies to people. But he was the one
that
helped.
He still is, His company is still going strong, and we use him every year for our plaques.
Well, now awards today are totally different. I remember, and I had this conversation with Gary Koch one day. Gary Koch told me, he says, "Hey, John, why don't you donate your junior golf trophies that you won to the Greater Tampa Junior Golf Association, because they could use some trophies because they got a bunch of kids and they got all these tournaments." I said, "Yeah, I'll just take off the plaques." So we would donate, so tour pros and club pros and, if we won a bunch of tournaments or whatever, our junior golf trophies, we would give them to the Junior Golf Association so they could give them, repurpose them, right? Well, nowadays, awards are so sophisticated, they would laugh at us if I showed up, "Hey, kids, you want some of my old junior golf trophies?" They would go, "Nah, you know, we've got digital etching on crystal now. I was like, okay. But I can tell you, just to go back to George Levy, it wasn't always the day that they had a Raymond James Stadium. It used to be Tampa Stadium. It wasn't always the day that the Final Four basketball tournament or college playoff championship game or anything would come to Tampa. So, kudos to you. Kudos to your organization. And my goodness, the other day we were having a conversation with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. I'm the secretary of that this year. And
congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. But we're going to have a baseball, bourbon, and cigar event at the J.C. Newman Company. And we were talking about one of your enshrinees at the Tampa Sports Club, Jim Macaluso, who's a 48-year coach of King High School and a wonderful man that got inducted into your sports club. So we're excited for your progress. And, man, we wish you the best. And there is a great golf connection between on the Deep Florida and the Tampa Sports Club for sure.
There is, and you know, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame organization with Barry Smith, and you know, he'd been press president, and all the wonderful other organizations like the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. People are not that familiar with it, and we're trying to rebrand and bring all this back to the Tampa Bay area.
Well, I went to the banquet last year. I saw you there, and I had a superb time. Barry Smith made me go buy some dress-up duds.
I was surprised. You look great, though. I love you. I love you dressed up.
Was it better than the Christmas dress-up?
Oh, it wasn't as colorful. I had long pants on. I went and bought myself a jacket.
He did. He had long pants on.
And a button-down shirt. And
he had a blazer on. I mean, you know, he was looking fine.
Yeah, I got my hair groomed.
There were no lights flashing off and on and off
that's
and
just,
on.
That's just Mr. Christmas during the holidays. All right. I was keeping a low profile. Too many people were just on edge wondering when I was going to do something outrageous. Okay. Hey, J.P. Peterson does do a superb job of emceeing, by the way, and that's a great facility. So, once again, in fact, I'm glad that you reminded me. I'm remiss. Mark Donahue actually would come on the show and just grab the check from me, but I was remiss to get you the money this year. I'll get back on there, and I look forward to coming out on the 19th at Carrollwood Country Club. We'll bring the gang.
Oh, please do. And June 5th, we're actually looking at Higgins Hall with all of the amazing inductees that we have confirmed this year. So we may be moving over to Higgins Hall so we can. Last year we sold out at over 400 seats, and so Higgins can handle 700. So we went, okay, let's just go for the gusto.
Atta girl. Just raise that bar a little bit further. You'll reach it. You do everything else in life when you set yourself a goal.
You know, well, let me tell you, it's been the most humbling. I am very honored to be the president this year. I'm very humbled, but it's finding life and being humble and being able to give back and help others. That's the most rewarding thing of all, along with your faith and your God and your family.
Well, you know how I close the shows. God bless you and God bless America. We're on the same
Amen.
Page, young lady. All right. Thank you for joining me. I'll be talking to you. I'll give you a call this week.
And, all right. Love you guys. My mom. Happy
Thank
New
you,
Year.
Brandy.
She's Brandy Winans, and what a remarkable lady with a lot of energy. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and I still want to talk a little bit about the century, and we've still got the Wild Bill's weather report. We got the John Ray report. I need to get a couple of tips from my man here to the right on what else should we be doing for this 2024 in our New Year's resolutions. And you need some too, Bill Butner. We'll be back here on the T Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the T from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Berg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network's On the Tee, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Nice conversation with Brandy Winans for the Sports Club of Tampa. We're brought to you by Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on our 19th hole, of course, so where they pour ice pick vodka, and Sea Dogs Brewery, where we, when John Rager comes to town, we always make certain that we're down. Next time, we'll have Jeff and Bill Butner join us, and Tom Gribben have a little company gathering down there on Blind Pass Road. And, of course, our good friends at Michelob Ultra, and we've got some breaking news next week. I've got a meeting with Chris again, and we'll get you updated on everything that's going to take place with our simulators in 2024, going up from leagues to interaction with the majors, the marquee tournaments, one a month. So a lot to talk about down the road, and then why don't we get a little easy, quick tip from Jeff Ward on what to do to stay focused on your 2024 New Year's resolutions when it comes to your health. The most important thing you did to me was break down how many hours are in a month.
Yeah, in a week.
In a week.
168 hours a week, and people talk about how much should I work out, you know, just general with the workout, how much should I train. If you can devote 4% of your week, people, I don't have time to work out. 4%, that's an hour a day.
That's the most important thing you should do in your life. I'm starting to realize that, unfortunately, at 67.
Yeah, it's one of them. Everybody's focusing on making money and building their empire.
I loved your post today, yeah.
Yeah, and then they die by the time they get all the money they want together to get ready to go retire. You know, that's one of the biggest tragedies out there. You spend people so much effort into, you say, I mean, we always say, you know, you forget about your health for 10, 20 years and building your wealth, and then you end up spending all of your wealth trying to get your health back. You know, and it's all going to doctors and pharmacies. And
well, you could have been proactive, preventive, and taken care of.
And I'm fortunate. An hour a day. Let's say if you're putting in half an hour a day of actively doing cardiovascular work and stretching, half an hour a day doing something strength related, or you know, let's say if you're in the golf program and doing something sport specific, a half an hour a day of that, and then during the week, you know, two hour sessions of putting together the food. You know, we talked.
That's the thing when you broke it down for me, food preparation.
Yeah. I mean, it just in general, if weight loss is your primary goal, fat loss being your primary goal, we always say that failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you literally know what you're
getting some muscle back at 67 is mine.
Yeah.
And that's
why nutrition is so important for everybody. It's so easy. If you're going to go out and cook two chicken breasts on the grill, you might as well cook eight. if you're going to go throw, you know, some ground turkey in the pan, you might as well do the whole 3 pound, 4 pound.
I bought turkey. I bought chicken.
Yeah.
I made my own protein omelet today.
Awesome.
Only spent 20 minutes preparing it, but it's just me.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I'm 4 days good in there. How about you, John Rager? How's your routine going?
Well, you know, Jeff, I have a question for you, but be careful how you answer this because we are a beverage-centric show.
Oh, yeah.
What is the best recreational adult beverage to be able to consume when you're trying to go through your 4% to 1 hour a week? What would you recommend? And you know what? It could be all across the board, but what would you recommend as the adult beverage of preference to make sure that you can? Would it be like a Mick Ultra with 95 calories or something like that? Or what would you recommend?
It's a great question.
Michelob is 80 calories, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Mick Ultra's a sponsor, so we got to push those. But Ice Pick Vodka is a great solution, too. Quite honestly, if you're talking about all the time, buzz per calorie, you know, going
buzz per calorie.
How much of an effect are you going to get?
So that's the BPC, the golfer's BPC, buzz per calorie.
Yeah, buzz per calorie.
We just termed a new term.
I tell people all the time. I said, you know, quite honestly, if you're talking about your alcohol content per calorie, then honestly, hard liquor is the way to go. You're talking 64 calories per ounce. And, you know, 2 ounces of liquor is going to get you, you know, plenty of response, you know, with what you're looking for of settling down for the evening or having a good time. And it's just not that many calories. Now, the secret is what you mix with it. So if you take your rum and mix it in with a regular Coke, well, now you just blew yourself out of the water. But if you mix it with a Diet Coke, if you mix it with, we go out all the time and drink vodka and soda. And if you're drinking vodka and soda, throw one of these little.
What about vodka and cranberry? That's me.
Yeah, and that's
ice pick cranberry
is really not that high in sugar, you know. So if you're gonna, or if you go get yourself one of the little like Mio or other water flavoring, you know, stuff like that that's got the cranberry flavor to it, you put a drop.
Oh, put the powder in. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it tastes fine. Your body adapts to the flavor to it.
I don't think John Rager would ask that question. We're talking.
Oh, no. You know what? We actually have to have a collaboration now between Jeff and Patty Suzette there because. You know, we're going to have to come up with the cocktail of the week, but it's going to have to be focused on the ATC. Oh, no, the BPC, yeah. Buzz per calorie. Yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah, and also, quite honestly, Drip. I was looking at that the other day, the sponsor for the show. And that's pretty damn low calorie.
Oh, big time.
Product. It's only
here's the problem with that.
Something like that.
I love the orange taste. And I had a friend the other day. She came over to my Christmas party, and I had some in the old fridgeroo. And she saw one, and she pounded like she was drinking, you know, a Shasta.
Yeah.
And then she, I saw her go back to the fridge. I go, Sherry, what are you doing? She goes, those are so good. I'm getting another one. I go, no, you're not.
Slow down.
Yeah.
I wonder what an Uber costs from St. Augustine to St. Pete, because it looks like if I go down there and get some free samples, I might need a ride back.
Yeah, you might need to finance the house.
Yeah, I'll put them in a cooler with a lock with a combination that you won't get until you get home. How about that?
Yeah, we
I know your willpower. Your willpower.
We talked about that on our live last night with Facebook, and we're going to cover it on the podcast later this week too. About, you know, New Year's resolutions and making them stick. And the biggest thing to it is realistically setting your goals. You know, people want to lose a whole ton of weight in a month or something like that.
Ridiculous.
It's just not sustainable. It's not healthy.
It's not practical.
You know, and if you look at it, I try and tell people all the time. They come on into me as a trainer and like, man, I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds. I say, great. Let's lose a pound a week. You'll lose 50 pounds in a year, and you don't even have 50 pounds to lose. 6 months, you knock off 50 pounds, but do it in a sustainable way so that you're not starving at the end of your diet. You're actually eating more calories when you're down 30 pounds than you're eating today. That makes it sustainable. So that's going to a good coach, going to a good fitness professional.
I like that idea.
And stuff. So get a lot more food in your body, but just be pickier what food you're eating.
All right, let's talk about the tournament one last time over there at St. Petersburg, and then we'll turn this over to the Wild Bill weather report. But tomorrow, it's a shotgun start, 27.
Shotgun start, 9 o'clock, 98th consecutive one. Gary Koch won this 48 years ago.
That's so cool.
So it's got history to it. Locally, it's got some great players from throughout the country, and... great golf course.
So. It's the opportunity for St. Pete Country Club to basically showcase itself, too, with all the new developments.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're going to be shutting down this summer and redoing the whole thing, and next year will be...
And Gary's going to be a part of that project, right?
He'll be a part of the project, redoing the whole golf course, and we're looking forward to the 100th anniversary.
What am I going to do for supplemental income this summer? I was going to come back and see if they'd take me back.
I know. Well, you know...
Come on up to Bio Club. I'll get you out.
There you go. There you go.
Hey, Bill.
Your legacy goes on, yes.
Hey, Bill, I got an update right here. So I'm looking at the leaderboard. So we have John Daly the second in 18th place, right? Or tied for 17th, actually, with 73. But here's a highlight of his round. He made an 8 on the second hole and still shot 73. So, Bill, what's the par on the second hole?
Second hole's a par 5, a reachable, easy par 5.
And he made an 8 on it.
Easy to hit out of bounds. The wind was against you today, so...
Two.
You know, high and right. We had one of the guys, obviously, he's leading the tournament, I believe, shot 68. He, on the par 5, 16th, he made an eagle. On the par 3, next hole, he 5-putted for a 6.
He 5-putted?
5-putted for a 6.
What were the greens rolling at today?
They were rolling 13s.
Okay.
Wow.
And then the next hole, par 5, he made an eagle. So he went eagle, quad, eagle.
Oh, my.
Psychological.
Well, that would be Bradley Goldstein, who's leading the tournament at 68. Yep. My goodness.
Yep.
Birdie's
and I looked at John Daly's score, and John Daly, the second, after making 8 on the second hole, I guess the third hole must be a par 3. Is that correct?
Par 4.
Oh, par 4, so he made a bogey, okay, and then he ended up with 3 birdies for the rest of the round, but you can't top that Bradley Goldstein right now with a 3-6-3 for a 68, so a lot of wild scoring there at St. Pete Country Club.
Yeah, the greens were such that you get it above the hole, you're defensive, and some of the people, you know, didn't take that into account and rolled it 12, 15 feet by the hole.
Okay, in a tournament like this, who sets the pins? Who makes the decision?
We have Johnny Williams and the North Florida Rules Committee.
Okay, so they can't blame it on your soup or
no,
you
they
guys.
Can't. But our superintendent does the speed of the greens, and he did double roll them this morning, which we pray that he doesn't double roll them tomorrow morning. They don't need to be 13.
Does he have to ask permission to do that?
It's his call, but we'd like to recommend that the
13, guys... 13, wow.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, but hey, Mike, I'll tell you, you know, Bill and I know this, is that when you run a major tournament like this, you never do the rules officiating yourself, and here's why. You always bring that third party in. Because, yeah, we operate as club pros in the gray, okay? And the rules guys can be black and white because we don't want any confrontations out there. So kudos to Bill for bringing in the North Florida PJ rules official. Pay him a couple bucks to be the rules official because then everybody at the end of the tournament is still our friend.
That is true. Very well said.
All right. Well, I'm going to come out there tomorrow and harass you. What's your role tomorrow besides behind the desk?
Well, initially, I pick up the range from 8:30 to 9. We use the first fairway as a driver range.
You're going to be driving the picker?
No, we handpick the first fairway.
Oh,
so you'll see me down the fairway handpicking the fairway on 1.
There won't be that many balls.
But not while they're hitting golf balls.
No, we shut the range on 1, and we let them continue to range on the iron.
Well, that range is so freaking short, you have to, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I used to shag balls for Pat Lindsay before he got on the PJ Tour out of Babe Zaharias Golf Course, and he'd pay me like $10, and $10 back in the late 70s was big money. And but the problem is you had golfers teeing, you know, they had no range at Babe Zaharias. You had golfers teeing off the 10th hole. And then Pat would be hitting, you know, shag balls down the fairway and everything like that. And I didn't even have a helmet. I had to be shagging balls, dodging people seeing
now
off.
Now I know what
now
happened to you.
That's what
that
happened.
That explains it, John.
It explains a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, it was good money in those days.
Yeah.
No danger pay. Well, let's dive into the John Rager report since we only got about 10 minutes.
Well, since we have 10 minutes left, we have to give the Wild Bill golf weather report, okay? And just want to let you know that Wild Bill Golf Weather Report is brought to you by Yank and Crank, extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they are fishing. So we're going to talk about Maui. Maui, Hawaii. You know, right now in Maui, Hawaii, it feels like 83 degrees. You know, even up here in North Florida, you know, we're a little chilly right now. We're down in the high 40s. I don't know what it's like in St. Pete right now, but it's a little chilly up here. But it's 83 degrees, 58% humidity, winds out of the east-northeast at 7 miles per hour. So what a beautiful evening in Maui. And so the folks on the East Coast are going to get hammered by a snowstorm, are going to enjoy watching the Century Tournament on the Golf Channel. And there you have it. That's Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. Go to myshopify.com/yankandcrank, and please buy a hat. And there you have it, Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report.
Hey, tell him it's 2024. He's going to have to re-up my swag inventory down here at the headquarters of On the Tee, Florida.
Oh, without a doubt, we're going to have to get him down there somehow. But we'll figure it out. So anyway, hey, I want to talk about the John Rager Report here. And so for our listeners out there, the John Rager Report is On the Tee, Florida. And not only will you find a weekly report about golf, travel, and lifestyle, you can now listen to the archives of On the Tee, Florida, and you can listen to the tidbits of the John Rager Report on RadioStPete.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com, YouTube, and Mic'd Up Social. So you can follow the John Rager Report on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, Threads, and now TikTok. So visit johnragergolf.com or onthetfloridagolf.com for the latest news and updates on the world of golf. So here's what I want to talk about tonight with the John Rager Report. It has to do with the PGA Tour, and it has to do with the Player of the Year Awards. So, you know, it's interesting because Scottie Scheffler has won the PGA Tour Player of the Year. Obviously a great player. Obviously, somebody who is, you know, deserving of the award, but they seem to award Scottie Scheffler this on statistics versus wins. John Rahm won four tournaments plus the Masters Championship. And so Scottie Scheffler won two tournaments. And so when they start awarding the Player of the Year, because John Rahm left for LIV Golf, the players weren't able to vote for John Rahm. So, of course, John Rahm won the Player of the Year. But the biggest story, I think, is really cool, and this is a feel-good story, is Eric Cole. Eric Cole is the son of Laura Baugh. And Laura was the 1973 LPGA Rookie of the Year. 50 years later, her son, Eric, is the 2023 Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour, deservedly so. So that's, you know, that's one of the feel-good stories in golf this week. So if you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, Threads, LinkedIn, and plus now TikTok, I had to go there, I guess, with TikTok. So we got to keep up with the Joneses out there. So
we'll keep up the Chinese
John Rager Report.
Well, when you take a look at this, let's go back to that century before we leave too. When you take a look at that that leaderboard, you happen to have that in front of you?
I do.
Well, I think they probably, most of them should have completed play by now. And this, explain this event to people, because, you know, with the limited only 59 players participating, it's not, you know, champion specific these days. It was back in the day, and it was a great tournament, and everybody showed up for it. But, you know, COVID and the changes that took place and expanding the field because of COVID, that had a lot to do with the current format. And then, of course, as I say, the defectors of the PGA now with LIV not able to participate, that's changed it considerably.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still a wonderful event to qualify for. And
yeah,
I know,
absolutely.
Because John Rahm leaving the PGA Tour and going to LIV Golf, it opened up another spot in the top 50 for the PGA Tour. But you know what? Not all the top 50 or the Champion Tour, or not the Champions Tour, but the PGA Tour winners go there. But it's actually a good start to the PGA Tour, and all these players will play in the Sony Open next week, because you're going to go all the way over there. They bring their families. It's expensive, but here's an interesting thing, is that the PGA Tour qualifying school, the top five that qualified for their PGA Tour cards, are not eligible, not obviously not for this tournament, but they're not eligible for the Sony Open. They may not be eligible for a PGA Tour event for way into maybe even into late February, early March. So it's interesting.
They're starting enlarging the fields later in the year. Right now, they're probably at 128 or 132 for the West Coast.
Is that right?
Yeah. They have limited daylight, and they have issues with the...
I never knew that. That's why we have the PGA pros right here on the tee floor. I never knew that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and that's where you have problems getting into fields if you're in the qualifying school or if you're a number, shall we say.
Because of the limited... And then once they... same situation in Phoenix, though, isn't it? Well, that's yep. Mountain Standard Time, but it still has an impact on the sunset and sunrise.
Right. Small field.
Well, the other thing, too, is this year is the first year they've had it in a number of years that they had actually had five people promoted from the tour school into getting a PGA Tour card. But it's really interesting to see that, you should let those five guys in the tournament. That's why they went to the tour school. That's why they qualified. You offer them those cards. Now, lessen the blow is now this year, for the first time in 2024, they get $500,000. Now, they don't get that right up front, but what happens is that as they win money throughout the year, at the end of the year, if they don't win $500,000, they get reimbursed for the balance, but that's going to be a little bit more interesting.
What
happened
to Ben? Where was I for this?
This sounds like college football right now, but they don't have to reimburse it.
Yeah, that's true. No portal for us.
Yeah.
But Bill, you think about when you played on the PGA Tour, you didn't have that buffer, and it's interesting where you didn't have that security blanket. You didn't, there were times, I'm sure,
draw against commissions.
I don't know what your personal finances were, but I know that, I lived hand to mouth anytime I tried to play golf, so I can tell you that, just imagine the difference that would have made in your life if you got your tour card. You knew that you're guaranteed X amount of dollars a year, so you didn't have to go out and scrape for sponsors and play in, rinky-dink pro-ams out there to try to, play for $1,000 on a Wednesday somewhere when you're off the tour that week.
That's all right.
Yeah, this generation, a bunch of wimps. Hey, we only got a couple minutes. John, you got anything else as we wind things down?
Well, actually, we're looking forward to a great year there at Forge Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole clubhouse with the simulators. We know we're going to have some major matchup tournaments. We know we're going to have some long drive stuff. And so we're looking forward to using these golf simulators. Football season's over now, so people won't be watching football on it. Now they'll be able to play golf on it.
And Jeffrey, the new show?
Yeah, we're just getting go started with that. So we'll get into that a little bit more next week with
the
promotion on. Let's say we're changing the name up, changing the format a tiny bit, but looking forward to it.
We are too. And you, my man, you'll be...
We'll be running the tournament through Saturday, and hopefully we got a winner on Saturday afternoon, and we go in back to normal golf business.
I'll see you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. From the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, Tom Gribben. Patty Suzette was in the house for a while. Bill Butner, and of course, Jeff Ward, Joe Boudreau, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.